let's get ready for the word. Are you ready today? All right. Are you guys ready for the word today? Come on. Yeah, be more excited. How many is ready for the word? There you go. All right. Remember what we teach is worship him in spirit and in truth. My spirit was just engaging through worship, and now we open up the word of the Lord, and we worship him through the truth of the word as well today. So I hope you're ready today. We're going to continue our 3-in-1 series where we're talking about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Some of you here today, you may have questions like, is Jesus really God's Son? Are they different? Is he different from God? Is the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Jesus? Who are they? And what we're defining to you is this, is that they all are all three separate in functionality, three separate in roles. All three stand alone in their function as the body of Christ and who we are. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all three separate, but yet they all work in harmony with each other. And when you allow all three to be in operation in your life, then you become much more powerful. It's like using one ingredient to clean your clothes, or you can use fabric softener, you can use brightener and detergent. All three stand alone, but when you combine the three, boy, you come out smelling a lot better, right? Yeah, kind of the same thing in our life. When we combine all three, we go to work smelling a lot better. Our attitude smells better. Our actions smell better. Things about us are operating better. And so today we're going to jump right into it. This is really three different series under the umbrella of this one series, 3-in-1. We've been talking about the Son, who is Jesus. And so, man, we've had such a great time. We talked about how Jesus was the carpenter. If you don't know that Jesus was the carpenter, that's important to every believer. He wasn't just a carpenter by title, but he was a carpenter by trade, which means he actually worked really hard. He knows what it is to work in the family business. He knows what it is to work a job. He understands what it is to have bad relationships on the job. He understands to have a crazy, messed up family. He understands what it means to have a helicopter mom. He understands all these things that come along with dysfunction in families. He really got it and understands it. He understands to be rejected by those closest to you. He understands to have friends let you down. He understands to feel betrayal. He understands physical pain. He understands emotional pain. He understands it all. This is important because the Word of God says that he is sitting next to the right hand of the Father as our advocate. And then when we come to the throne of grace, we come with boldness because he is there advocating for us. What simply means this, that when we come to God and say, God, I'm struggling today with my job, or I'm struggling today with this relationship, I'm struggling today with this hurt, that Jesus says, Father, show them grace. I understand. I identify with them. I've walked in their shoes. It's not easy. And this is what they're feeling. It's a great sense of pulling me to an intimate relationship with Jesus, because he was just not a great, great minister, but he was also a great person who ran a business and worked hard and understands Jesus the carpenter. Now, I tell you, that will change your life. If you haven't heard that message, I highly recommend you go download that down and listen to it on our podcast at mydestinychurch.com. And we talked about several other things, about the great shepherd hearing his voice, the sheep hear him, are led by him, about the great teacher. Jesus, the side of him, is the great teacher. The reason why Jesus was the greatest teacher ever known was because long before science ever told us this is how our brain works. You know, there's books. I read a book last year about how our brain works and how we teach and how we comprehend. And it's all the way Jesus teaches. It's all the things Jesus was already doing thousands of years ago. How was Jesus thousands of years ahead of science? Because he was the one who spoke us into existence. He was the one who created us. So therefore, he's the one who wired our brains. And he knows the way that we comprehend best. And so he came to bring the wisdom of the Father, the revelation of how much God really loves us, and to live it out and to bring it to you and I. And he taught it in a way that we can understand. You understand, Jesus was the greatest teacher we've ever known. We talked about last week, Jesus the Lamb. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus the Word. Everybody turn to your next, Word up! It's fresh. Come on now. Let's go back to the 80s. It's going to be an 80s type of day, and it's telling you already. All right. Jesus the Word. He is the living Word. Matter of fact, look what John 1:1 says. 1-3, and then we'll skip to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. Wait a minute, the Word hadn't been written yet, right? How could before the beginning of the earth, how could the Word be there? Well, it tells us it was the living Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. So all creation came out of the Word, the living Word. So who is the living Word? And it tells us in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God didn't come and dwell among us. The Holy Spirit has come, but he didn't take flesh. There was only one part of the Trinity who came and dwelt among us and took flesh form. That was Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. We know this is Jesus who came. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. If you don't understand that about Jesus, Jesus is the living Word today. Now look what James 1:5 says. How many today want wisdom? Raise your hand and say, I really need to grow in wisdom. How many want wisdom? How many want to be wise? Don't you like it when people say, that person's wise? I don't mean wise guy. I mean really wise. You know, we want to be wise. And this gives us the formula right here. It says, any of you lacks wisdom, he says you should go to Facebook, Twitter, and just ask, right? And why? That's what we do. We want wisdom, we go ask, and we get all these people commenting. And about 90% of them had zero wisdom, trying to tell us how to get wisdom. And haven't you ever found out the person who's been married 12 times wants to tell you how to run your marriage? I'm just telling you. All right. You understand what I'm saying? All right. We've got people trying to give us wisdom that have no business giving us wisdom. No. How we really get wisdom is this. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should simply what? Ask God. Who gives it in small portions? No. He gives it to us generously. To all without finding fault. It will be given to you. So here's a revelation for you today. If you want to grow in wisdom, if you're a Christian today, all you have to do is simply ask God. God, help me grow in your wisdom. Show me the ways that you have for me. And it says that he will give us that wisdom. I've never met a person who was a Christian who did not want to grow in wisdom, begin to seek growing in wisdom, begin to ask God for wisdom, that they didn't mature and grow in wisdom. It happens. It will happen. We've got to ask for it. We've got to seek after it. God, we want your wisdom in our life. I mean, today, how many today when you first got engaged for the first time that you had everything you needed, the wisdom you needed to have a successful marriage? Raise your hand. That's you. Ain't nobody here, right? I've done hundreds of marriage counselings over the year and pre-marriage counselings and weddings. And I never met a couple that was getting married for the first time that when I sat down with them, they had it all figured out. And they had the wisdom they needed. You know, wisdom comes, when it comes to marriage, wisdom comes just from year by year by year, sticking it out and working through the hard times and going through difficult seasons of your life. And man, it gets really hard. You don't just wake up and have all this knowledge to you. It comes through a lot of hard work, and it comes through a lot of painful seasons, and it comes through a lot of challenges. But we garnered it over the decades. We've learned to grow in wisdom. And finally, some of you are starting to get it right. Now that you got some gray hair, you're finally getting a little bit right. I'm there with you. I got one, and it's coming. Yeah, no, I got lots. My wife just cuts it all out. But anyway, pretty soon I ain't going to have no hair left. She's going to shave it all off and take care of that thing. Anyway, we are all growing in wisdom. We don't. Those of you who have successful businesses, you didn't just wake up and be an overnight success. No, you garnered that wisdom through the decades. You've garnered that through the years, through trial and error, through hard work and perseverance, through experimenting this and that, the mistakes, and you learn from mistakes, and you've learned to go out and to get wisdom from other business people, and you just grown in your wisdom, and over time, you've developed and had success in your business. See, it doesn't come right away. I don't believe there's anything as an overnight success. It's hard work that goes into it. James 3:15, look what it talks about wisdom. Basically, wisdom comes from two different places. He says there's such wisdom. He's talking about wisdom here. And he says such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly. Let's just call this the one of hard knocks, the school of hard knocks. Anybody ever learn from the school, graduate from the school of hard knocks? Boy, I've got a couple degrees from that school. How about you? The school of hard knocks, making mistakes, and we learn. The Bible says that's not from heaven. That's kind of unspiritual, and really it's demonic influence. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, which is usually why we make those mistakes, because we're envious and we let selfish pride and ambition lead us. He goes, there you find disorder. But look at the wisdom. But there is a different wisdom. It comes from heaven. That's the one I want. How about you? The wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial. It's sincere. So we have a street wisdom, the heart life of hard knocks, and then we have a wisdom that comes from heaven. I want that one. See, Jesus was the living word coming from heaven to impart the wisdom to you and I. And not only did he live it out, teach it out, illustrate it out, but he also left his word for us that you and I can grow in wisdom, to transfer it to us. Anybody here like that show, Survivor? Any Survivor fans in the house? All right, all three of you. Okay. I still love the show Survivor. And it's a reason why it's been around for over 20 seasons is because it's got a high rating and people like the show Survivor. I'm one of them, okay? So back off. I like Survivor. And in the show Survivor, one of the things I've noticed is that if you have somebody who really knows how to fish, if that person becomes more valuable to the tribe, and you're less likely, Corey, to get voted out, you know what I mean? Because people are like, we're not voting out the guy or girl who can fish. Because they're feeding us the protein. If they leave, all we're going to have is coconuts and maybe some rice. And so we like that protein. So they keep the people who can fish, they keep them around longer. And, you know, the guys who are smart, you know, the ones who are not that smart, they'll teach other people to fish. And when that other person learns how to fish, all of a sudden that person gets voted out because they don't need them anymore. Now they got somebody else who can fish for them. So the guys who play the game smart, they kind of just keep the fishing part to themselves, and they provide for the tribe, so they stick around a little longer. It goes back to the parable, you know, you give a guy a fish, you feed him for a day. But you teach him to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. How many of us are just eating day by day? How many of us are just getting fed one meal at a time? How many of us have really learned how to feed ourselves? Because this is really the mark of wisdom, is when you learn how to feed yourself. When you learn how to say, God, I'm going to allow you to feed me, but I'm also going to learn how to feed myself. Look at this statement here today. God really does. He expects us to learn to feed ourselves. God expects you to learn to feed yourselves. Now, you know, there's a season when feeding somebody is okay. That's right. When our babies are brand new, they can't do anything. Mama's got to feed them. And then eventually they graduate to the high chair. And mama still got to cut the food up and give it to them and feed them. Choo, 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 choo. Come open up. Eat your green beans. Here we go. You know, and you're doing all the sounds. And you get the kids to eat. You're feeding them. You know, and then pretty soon after that, they graduate. Maybe they sit at the big boy table or the big girl table. You know, and now you prepare the food for them. And they've learned how to feed themselves. And you can actually sit down and have a meal without having to feed somebody else. It's an amazing thing, moms. Don't you love that? They can feed themselves. But even greater than that is when they learn how to pour and make their own cereal. When they can make their own toast. And then they can also make their own sandwich. I mean, boy, they elevate. And then pretty soon, as they get older, they can take care of themselves. Do you still feed them periodically? Yeah, you're still going to cook for them. You're still going to provide meals for them, but you, as they are mature, they should be feeding themselves. It's a natural part of the progression in everyone's life. They should learn to feed themselves. It's the same way spiritually. We should learn how to feed ourselves. It's okay to go out to eat and to come in to something special like a Sunday and get yourself, you know, today we have to come in and be fed, be inspired. The Bible says we need that. You should always take advantage of that. Come and get fed on Sundays. But when you leave here on Monday, you need to learn how to get up and make your own meal. You need to learn how to feed yourself. Some of you are wondering why you're walking throughout the week malnourished, weak, spiritually weak, because you haven't learned how to feed yourself during the week. I know I'm teaching better than you're saying amen this morning. So turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you, not me. Okay. No, he's preaching to all of us today. We need to learn how to feed ourselves. You know, if you ever sit under someone as a teacher or a preacher or a minister, and they teach you that you don't need to learn to read the Bible for yourself, that you just listen to me and I'll explain it to you and cut it up and give it to you, I'll just tell you, run. Run fast, okay? Run fast, because God never designed for us to be manipulated that way. He designed for us to have an understanding of God's word. There's a time and a season when we need to be fed. We need to be discipled, and we need to have people explain it to us. And we need all of our life. We need people still coming in and feeding us those meals. You need pastors to come in and inspire you and challenge you and to keep you on track. But you know what? You can hear from God on Monday just like I can. And God wants you to learn how to do that. He wants you to learn how to feed your spirit throughout the week, that you learn to grow and nourish yourself. It's a part of maturing that God expects every one of us. So how do we do this? How do we feed ourselves? Number one, let's look at this. Number one, God will teach us. God will teach us how to feed ourselves. He teaches us. There's two ways he really teaches us. Number one, he teaches us through personal experience. Personal experience. Now, today I love this story. I've told this story a long time ago, and I love telling it again because it's so true. How many here today was raised when you had the time, when you had to get up early on Saturdays to watch cartoons? Anybody remember those days? Okay. Okay, you just couldn't watch cartoons 24/7 on cable channel 2011. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't just go to the internet. If you missed it, if you were playing too long and you came home, you had like a 30-minute segment during the day in between the soap operas and the next talk show. You could actually get maybe 30 minutes of cartoons. And if you missed that, you were out of luck until the next day. And then if you really want to watch the good cartoons, you got to get up like 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and watch them. You know, and so I love cartoons, and in there was cartoons about how, you know, I saw the people that would jump off and they'd hang on to the umbrella, you know, the Roadrunner, Coyote, you know, I saw movies like Mary Poppins, and you know, they just floated around with these umbrellas. This was like your own personal parachute, right here, the umbrella. And so I remember me and my buddy were like, let's go try this. And so we went to the top of my house. I pulled out my umbrella, and I looked at it. I'm like, this looks about right. I think it's going to work. And I reached out and jumped off and grabbed both hands and jumped off there. And I got about a half second into that jump before I realized, this is really dumb. Right down to the ground. I hit, all the wind left my body. I deflated, could not catch my breath. I mean, I was like, could not catch my breath. I was panicking. And I looked at my friend and said, don't do that. That was dumb. That was dumb. And he was like, yeah, I ain't doing that. That's stupid. See, I had to experience the pain, and he learned from my mistake, and he avoided the pain. Thank God we didn't have a two-story house, or I might not be here today to live to tell you the story. You know, I can learn from other people's mistakes, or I can learn from my own mistakes. Both will teach me, but personal experience teaches me this, that man, painful things teach me hard lessons. Look what Psalms 119 says. I like that because he's like, man, I used to be really dumb. This is what he say. I used to be really dumb because I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I stay close. I stay close to your word. He goes, my suffering, my pain, it was good for me. It taught me to pay attention to your decrees. I mean, this is what happens here. We says, I learn from my own pain. I learn from my own suffering. See, my own personal experiences I learn from. But there's a better way, and that's B. The second way God teaches us is from other people's experiences. From other people's experiences. This is how God teaches us. I can learn from your pain. My friend learned from my pain. And I can learn from your pain. And you can learn from somebody else's pain and learn how to avoid it. Proverbs 22:3 says it like this. The wise person, the prudent one, man, they see danger and they avoid it. They take refuge. I love how it says, but the simple, let's just be honest here. It was a nice way of saying a person is not very smart, okay? All right, Forrest, you know what I'm saying? But the simple person, they keep going and they don't pay they pay the penalty. But the simple people keep going and they pay the penalty. He says, if you're smart, the wise, you see danger, you avoid it. The person who's not very smart, they keep going and they pay the price. I can learn from other people's mistakes. See, wisdom seeks to avoid. Wisdom seeks to avoid. How many here today has ever had a painful lesson you've learned in your life? Raise your hands. I've had painful lessons I've learned the hard way. Anybody here? Yeah. Come here, Drew. Give me a hand a second. I like Drew. He's one of our young men here in the church. How old are you, Drew?
20.
20 years old, in college. Are you single today? All right, ladies, all right. You can get his handle after church. All right. Don't owe me anything for that, okay? Right, you can pay me later. All right. You know, today, if you learned a hard lesson in your life through pain, raise your hand and keep it raised for me a second. Now, keep it raised. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if I could take Drew here, if I was talking to him and teaching him? I could say, I could take a lesson from him and put it right there in your heart. I could take this lesson and put it in your heart, and I could take that lesson. And this lesson, and that lesson, and that lesson. I could take a lesson for everybody raising their hands, and I could give him that lesson right in his heart. I mean, put your hands down. How much smarter would he be? Matter of fact, how much wiser would he be? We would look at him and say, boy, he is wise beyond his what? His years. Why? Because he took the life lessons, that mistakes that we had made, he took those and put them in his heart, and he learned from them, and therefore he becomes wiser than his years. Thank you. You see, this is what happens to you and I, you know, that we have the chance to take life lessons and learn from other people. And the more I put that into my life, the wiser I become. And I can become wiser than my years when I learn from those around me. And I learn from those who have gone before me. And I learn through the pain of suffering from other people. I can learn and grow wise beyond my years. I mean, if we could write a book of wisdom that we've learned over our lives, I mean, think about it. For those of you who are pushing 40, if you could go back and write a book over the last 30 years of your life and write yourself a book, I mean, think about it. If you could go back and write yourself a book right now of wisdom, and you had the ability, if Doc showed up and Marty showed up and you got into the time machine, you went back in time, come on, you got to get back in time. Come on, somebody say amen to the 80s gospel this morning. All right, just having a little fun. All right. If you could get, you go back and give it to yourself 30 years ago, how many think that book would be valuable to you, wouldn't it? I mean, some of you, 10 years would be a big value. More or less 20 or 30 years. Take that back and go back and give it to yourself. How many, that book would be so valuable to you? How many think that book would be worth $100 to you? Would it be worth $100? Yeah, you would easily pay. How many would pay $1,000 for that book? Yeah. How many think that book's worth $10,000? Yeah. See, to you, that book would be priceless. Why? Because the wisdom in that book would save yourself a lifetime of regret and pain, right? So true. If we could have, think about it, if we could not only have that book, but we could have a whole library of books like that. What if we had a whole library of books that were biographies written to help us learn? We do. See, we have a whole biography of books. It's called a biblios, which is biography. It's where we get the word Bible. See, the word of the Lord is books upon books of wisdom given to us, that Jesus Christ came, living the living word, came and gave it out for men and women to translate and to give us stories and lessons of wisdom coming from heaven. Some of them come and they bring stories about the pain they suffered, the mistakes they made, the trials they overcame, the freedom that they faced. I mean, I can learn from Samson. I don't have to make the same mistakes. I can read about Samson and try to avoid some of his same mistakes that he made in his life. I said, God, help me to avoid these mistakes. I can read about David before he was king and after he was king, how you act and how you surrender and how you submit to God, how you lead, and how do you handle making mistakes and how do you overcome mistakes in your life. Boy, I can learn a lot from David. I can learn a lot from Peter about how you walk close to God, and when you make a big mistake, if you don't give up, I can learn that even Peter came back, and just a little short time later, 3,000 people were saved in one of the biggest meetings of that time on the day of Pentecost after he had just failed God a month earlier, and now 3,000 people are coming to accept Christ in one sermon from Peter. I mean, I can learn from Pete. We can learn from so many people that have been given to us. It's a book of wisdom that the living word came down in flesh. Jesus walked among us and he left us a book of wisdom to give to us. It's there for us. We learn from it. I can learn how to be a better dad. I can learn how to be a better spouse. I can learn how to succeed in my job. I can learn how to succeed in my finances. I can learn how to succeed in relationships. I can learn how to walk in healing and forgiveness. I can learn how to get rid of bitterness in my life. I can learn how to grow in faith. It's in here for my life. It's all there. It's the Word of the Living God. I mean, think about it. If I decided just to read, let's just think about it. Let's do the math here. If I decided that 5 days a week I was going to open up the Word of the Lord, the Word of Jesus Christ, and I open it up, and I say, I'm not going to read a ton. I'm going to take 5 minutes today. Open it up, read a couple of verses, and just say, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart on these verses. Let one thing come out to me. Let's use, for example, I read, and, oh, wow, the Bible says that I should be slow to speak and listen more. Okay? Today, I'm going to listen. I'm going to be quick to listen and slow to speak. I'm not going to just spout out my opinion. I'm going to listen fully and wait to speak. How much would that change my day? I mean, how many think that would be people looking, boy, that person's growing up. That person's maturing. They're wise. That's wisdom. And I took that and I applied it to my life. Just think, if I did that 5 days this week, just took out one nugget, put it in my life, at the end of that week, I'd have five nuggets of wisdom right in my heart. Think about it, in a month's time. Wow, in a month's time, I could have 20 nuggets of wisdom into my heart. In a year's time, I could have 240 nuggets of wisdom I've been putting in my life. And then over a year, people look at you and go, I don't know what you're doing, but you just got this wisdom about you. You've got a wisdom that's so much wiser than your age. You've got a wisdom that's so much greater. What is that? Now, you're putting the wisdom of the ages in your heart. You're putting the wisdom that comes from heaven in your heart. It's there for us, guys. It's there. Why would we ignore it? Why should we? Why would we ignore the very thing that the living word came, made flesh, dwelt among us, brought the revelation of God's word to life, that you and I can read it and now comprehend it, and the Holy Spirit will give it to us? I mean, it's just incredible. Look what Psalms 119 says, verses 99 through 100. He goes, the psalmist said, he goes, I have more insight than all my teachers. I think he went to school where I went to school. I have more insight than all my teachers. He goes, why? But he didn't just say that in a smart aleck statement. Look why he's saying it here. He goes, I had more insight than my teachers. Why? Because I meditate. I meditate on your statutes, God. He goes, I have more understanding than the people who are older than me. Why? Because I obey them. I meditate on them, and then I obey them. I obey them. See, he's talking about a wisdom that comes, that you'll have more wisdom than even some of your elders and teachers when you begin to put this into your life and live it out. See, putting practice the wisdom from above makes you wiser than beyond your years. How many has ever had a tutor before? Anybody ever had a tutor before? I've had tutors before to help me out, subjects I needed help in. Yeah, I mean, aren't tutors great? I mean, this is like the best thing ever. You know, you're struggling in a subject, whether it's high school or, you know, college, and you need some help. And so you get with a tutor, and you get a chance to ask those questions one-on-one, and they explain it to you, and they help you fight through the learning curve that you're trying to learn, and all of a sudden the thing you were struggling with in the big group class comes alive to you, and now you understand it, and now you start making better grades. Because why? You're comprehending it differently. Tutors are great. I wish we could, I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if we could have a tutor all of our life? I mean, wow, wouldn't that just be incredible? If I could have a tutor go with me, boy, I would definitely make less mistakes in my life. A tutor to help explain things. Wait, we do have a tutor. We do. This is a textbook. Let's look at the name of our tutor right here. Look, we have been given a personal tutor. His name is the Holy Spirit. See, and we're going to get into that in just a few weeks. He's our personal tutor. And he takes the word of the Lord and he brings it alive into my life. See, if you're reading the word of God without first accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to get some good teaching out of there. Hopefully it'll inspire you, but I can tell you, once you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that book comes alive to you. It's like fire. I mean, you open that thing up and, man, it's like fire. It comes alive in your spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been sent to you and I to bring the living word to life in our life. I mean, it's amazing. He says that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth from the Father. And so it's the Holy Spirit that leads it. That's why I can preach over a text, over a scripture. I can preach series and years after years and decades after decades. I can preach on the same scripture over and over again. And I guarantee you, every time I preach and read it, I'll find something new. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brings something new to me all the time. I mean, this is when I think I've exhausted every angle to look at it. I'll read it, and out of the clear blue, boom, the Holy Spirit showed me a different way of seeing it. I'm like, wow, I've never seen it that way before. That's the Holy Spirit. It's our tutor. And he brings the living word of Jesus alive to our life. Why don't we read it? Why don't we open it up? When we let it come alive in our life. Number two, we got to learn to choose life priorities biblically. I'm going to move through this one a little faster, guys. So don't sweat it. We're going to choose life priorities with a biblical viewpoint. How many people say, I want to study the Bible more? I just have a hard time sometimes finding time. Yeah, I know we want to read it more, but it's like our lives are busy. And I can tell you, as a father of five, man, it just seems like it never, ever, ever slows down. Our life is just full. Our schedule's full. It just like it never slows down. We're busy, but I will tell you this. We always make time for what we love. We will always make time for what we love. I've got to learn, you know, sometimes in our life, we just got to say, you know, guys, have you ever been there? You come home and it's getting close to the weekend. It's Friday. The work week's over with. And your wife's like, honey, I got some things I want you to do in the yard, in the house. And I want you to fix this, do that, do this. And guys, you're like, honey, I've been working overtime all week. Man, I've been working overtime all week. I know you. I need this done, but this Saturday, I'm not doing a thing. I can't do a thing, honey. I'm sorry. I just need to chill out in the recliner. Don't think about anything. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. I'm sorry. You'll just have to wait because I've got to have a day of rest. Any guys relate to that? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we've had those days. And all of a sudden you get a text or the phone rings. Hey, we got a tea time at 6 o'clock in the morning. We need an extra guy to play. Yeah, I'll be there. All of a sudden the energy comes. Oh, hallelujah. It's a miracle. I feel better. You're up at 5:30 chipping golf balls in the yard. You just, you know, you don't care. You're up all night thinking about playing. You're just excited. Or if someone calls you, hey, man, the boat's leaving in the morning. We're going fishing. Fish are biting. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be out. All of a sudden, we got energy. How many wives today say, Pastor, you're preaching to my husband? Come on, say amen. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Well, you had no room to talk, ladies, so come on. You should know better say amen like that. I mean, how many of you ladies, honey, I can't do another thing today. These kids have been stressing me out. The job, the work, the house, nothing was working around here. The kids were fighting all day. Nothing was going good. Dinner was burnt. The pet was sick. And everything was happening. I cannot take another day. Please take these kids. Get them out of here. I'm going to lock the door. I need some me time. I can't go nowhere. I can't think about another thing. I've got to rest. Any ladies had that time? Yes. And then someone texts you the magic word, sell. Get that text in. We're having a 25% off sale today. Or whatever. The mall's having a sale. And all of a sudden you're like, "Yoo, hallelujah. Oh, I'm feeling refreshed. I'm going out to witness. I'm going out to the highways and the byways and the malls and compelling to come in. I just got a half off this alpha for church. Won't you join me? Hallelujah." I mean, it's just a miracle that happens, right? What I'm saying is simply this. We don't have time. We don't have energy unless it's our passion. It's our passion. That's why your life's got to be lined up with biblical priorities. Because otherwise, the world will set the schedule for you. Your world will set the schedule for you, and you got to make sure, what's my first priority? For me, I know as I read God's word that my first priority is my relationship with God. I can't allow anything to come between me and God. That should be the number one priority. I got to make sure that I'm feeding my spirit. I got to make sure my mind is alert. I got to make sure that I'm, because when I let that go, everything else begins to cause a chain reaction of bad things in my life. And so I know when I'm being stressed out, short with people, and I have those days just like you do, okay, that I know that, boy, my me time with God, it's strong. I need some of that. So I got to keep that personal relationship with God a priority above everything else. And then I know I've got to keep my relationship with my wife a priority, because I've just got to know, she's the mother of our home, man. She's running that thing. And I know that, you know what, my wife and I, we got to be on the same page. And I got to make sure she's a high priority. My children come underneath that. My children are high priority. And I learned that. You know, I learned that I grew up with a lot of pastors and people around. And I went to church with their kids. And I'm like, man, a lot of those guys are not serving God today. And they're out of church. Why? Because they felt like the church stole their dad from them. They felt like the church took their dad away from them. So they grew up resenting God because the church dominated their father, or the church hurt their father, or the church took their dad away from them. They just grew up hating church. Now they don't serve God. So I was conscious of that. I said, you know what? I want to learn from that mistake. I don't want to repeat that mistake. And so I'm going to make sure my kids become a priority over my job or my ministry. And I know maybe that breaks your heart to find out you're second fiddle to my family. But that's always going to be the case. And it should be the case for you as well. Your job should never be more important than your family. Are you hearing me today, guys? Your job is never more important than your family. My relationship with God is number one. My family, number two. Children right there. And then my ministry, my work, my job, whatever. I'm keeping those things right there in line. I got to make sure I dictate that and keep that in line. And so as I think about it, so if God is just number one in my life, then what am I going to do to enjoy reading your word? Because like I tell you, I like to read, but I'm not a bookworm. I don't like to just always read books all the time. Some of you enjoy that. I don't always like that. Give me the movie. I want to watch the movie, you know? Come on. I watch the movie. If I like the movie, I might read the book. But what's this, you know? That's the way I am. I want to know. I want it now. I don't want to wait and read the whole book. I skip to the end to find out what really happened. Any guys relate to that? Okay, all right. So, you know, but I got to make it a priority. So what happens is you got to take your time with God and make it into things you enjoy. You know, my wife and I, in order to stay connected, we got to do things we enjoy. I enjoy eating, so I make sure we go out to eat. I make sure her and I spend time eating together, and we talk together, and we do things together that we enjoy doing together. Why? I do things with my kids that we enjoy doing together, so we stay connected. Same thing, when I'm doing my devotion, I got to make sure I'm doing things that stay connected. I got to make sure my devotion is connected to things I enjoy. For some of you here, you love your morning Joe, man. You love getting up with that cup of coffee and smelling it, and before anybody else is up, before the kids are up, you're the first one up, and you are tasting that first cup of coffee. Some of you dream all night about that first taste of coffee in the morning. You're addicted to it. You know you are, and you love it. That's your time before everything else gets going. You love that. Well, if that's your time, then just have your coffee. Open up the scripture. Just take a few minutes. Read a couple of verses. Say, God, let this come alive in my heart today. It just included to what you do. Some of you, maybe it's your break time at work. You slip out the back door at work and you go to your car or go to an outside place and sit down in the grass and you just take 10 minutes to refresh and open up the word of the Lord on your phone or your Bible and just open it up and say, God, speak to me during this time. For some of you, maybe you like the interaction, man. That's where you really get, where you really like that. So go out with somebody every so often. Say, hey, man, let's go out. Let's do a devotion together. And you read the scripture and then you talk about it together. That motivates you. You like the fellowship, and you like talking things through. You like discussing it through. So let's it come through. See, you got to take what's important, what's a priority. You got to take it and mix it in with things you enjoy. That's how you keep it alive in your life. That's how you keep your marriage alive, right? You got to mix it in with things you enjoy. So as you keep things in common, and you work together, and you spend time together. This is the way it works. Same thing with your walk. You know, if I need to, I hate to exercise. I hate to exercise, but I love watching the game and I love watching Sports Center. So if I have a treadmill or an elliptical machine that has the game on, I can stay there and watch it for a long time and watch that game. I mix it in with something I like, and it helps me accomplish what I need to do. So do it right, man.
do it right. Look what Luke 10 says in verses 41 through 42. Remember the story where Martha came to Jesus and was crying, "Hey, my sister Mary, she's not in here helping me take care of all this company. Jesus, you're here. Disciples are here. And she's sitting there and they're listening to you talk. And I'm in here doing the dishes. I'm cooking the meal. I'm doing this. I'm cleaning the house. I'm trying to be the hostess. And she's in there sitting at your feet listening to you teach. And I'm in here working." Look what Jesus said to her. "Martha, Martha, Martha. Martha." The Lord answered, "You're worried and upset about many things." He goes, "But really, only a few things are really important." And then he comes back and says, "Really, just one thing is really the most important. Mary has chosen what is better. She chose that one thing, and it won't be taken from her." Jesus was saying, that housework, it'll be there when you get done. These people will still be hungry when we get done. They'll wait on you to fix. They'll wait on you. It's all right. She's chosen the most important thing was to sit at my feet and hear from me. Are you getting the message loud and clear? Jesus says, this is really the most important thing of your day. Those other things will be there when you get up. Those other things will be there. Those kids are still going to be hungry when you get up. Everybody's going to be expecting you. Deadlines are still going to be there. It's all going to be there throughout the day. It ain't leaving, okay? But the most important thing is that you take time to sit at my feet. Sit in my presence. This is what's the most important thing for us to do. And the last thing is we live without regrets. So living a life without regrets, it requires a daily time at Jesus' feet. It does. Living your life without regrets, it requires daily time at Jesus' feet. I mean, how much would your life change if you could just apply that? Man, God, I'm going to take a couple verses and put it into my life today. I'm going to ask musicians to come this morning. Today, as I close, I was thinking, you know, I wonder how many of us today could benefit from spending time at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine if my friend Darren here said, "Pastor, I really think God wants me to learn to play guitar. And so I decided I'm going to take some lessons." And he goes, "I went down to the local music store and I took some lessons. And I'm taking lessons once a week there for 15, 20 minutes. And I go home and practice. Kind of picking it up. You listen to him and you can hear him. He's picking up some chords and he's strumming. And next thing you know, a few months later, he's gotten where he could actually do a few chords. I didn't say anything about singing, but he can at least play a few chords on the guitar." His wife was smiling at me. And then pretty soon, Darren enters a contest he sees online. And he sees where one of the greatest musicians of all time, one of the greatest guitar players of all time, Mr. Santana, says, "Hey, I'm giving away personal lessons." And he applies and he gets accepted and he gets to spend 3 months, just spending 3 months with Carlos Santana, learning to play guitar. And he comes back after 3 months. He starts playing and people hear him go, "Darren, where did you learn to play guitar like that?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, I started taking lessons down at the music store down the street." "No, dude, I know you didn't pick it up from taking lessons down at the music store down the street in 6 months. No, there's something else that had that. What was you doing?" "Oh, well, I was actually taking lessons from the master teacher." It shows. I could tell you had some master training. You would never pick that up on your own. You had some master training there. You see, there's something that happens when you begin to say, "You know what? I'm going to spend time with the master every day. I'm going to spend time with the master speak to me." Pretty soon people are going to look at you and you're going to say, "How'd you get so wise? Where did this wisdom come from? There's something about you that's different. Where did it come from?" "Well, I attend Destiny Church. I sit under Pastor Gene. He's a great teacher." No. "I know Pastor Gene. He ain't that good. What's really going on?" No. "You're growing. You're growing like really, really growing." "I've been spending time with the master teacher." See, it's there. Why not take advantage of it, guys? You know, many of us here today, we just don't take advantage of what God's given us.
so valuable to us. Jesus was the Word become flesh, dwelt among us, walked among us, taught us, gave the Word to men and women to leave to us, the book of wisdoms to us, that you and I could grow in the knowledge of the Father. I'm going to invite you to stand today. How many today say, Pastor, I'm inspired. Now listen to me. Some of you here, the only time you ever get your Bible out is when the Pastor Gene's coming over to the house to visit. Then you bring it out of the closet, you put it on the table, you dust it off, set your coffee out and your glasses by like you've been reading for hours, you know. Oh, Pastor Gene, you're here. Oh, good. God bless you. God bless you. Come on in. I was just reading in the Bible about how to get a job. That book about how to get a job. That's a great book. Great book. You mean the book of Job? Yeah, the book of Job. Book of Job. Yeah, amen. Come on now. I'm giving you a hard time. You know what I'm talking about. Don't wait, man. Take advantage. Let the master teacher teach you every day. We're going to sing this song, and I want you to say, God, I want to know you in such a real way. I want the master teacher to teach me. God, I want to learn to soak up your word. In just a few minutes a day, God, I want to learn to learn from the master. Come on, let's sing about the goodness of our Father.
To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am.
Let me ask you this. How many this week say, Pastor, I'm going to take at least 3 minutes a day. I'm just asking you to take 3 minutes for the next 7 days until we come back next Sunday. I'll take 3 minutes a day. Just open up and read at least three verses of the Bible. Will you do that with me? How many say, I'm going to do that with you, okay? Let's just take it. Say, God, I'm going to apply it. See, we get inspired today. Let's go home now and put it into work, okay? Put it into action to our life. Three verses. Won't take you very long at all. Just read that. The Holy Spirit, let it come alive. You say, Pastor, I've never read the Bible before. How about we make a commitment right here? To all of us together, we would read the book. You can pick any verses you want, but out of the book of Proverbs or out of the book of Psalms. Okay? We'll all do that together. Out of the book of Proverbs and out of the book of Psalms, we'll all read at least three verses. You can read more if you want to. I'm committed to read at least three verses and let the Holy Spirit deposit nuggets of wisdom into my life. Will you do that with me this week? Okay. Let's lift our hands one more time. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that your son Jesus came, the Word, took on flesh form, dwelt among us. I pray to Father we would begin to be wise beyond our years by applying the book of wisdom you left for us, God. I pray right now that God, there's something on the inside of us that is driving us. There's a new hunger, a new passion, God, just to taste and see your good, just to study of your word, God, and hear you speak to our spirit. May the Holy Spirit speak to us, bringing new revelation. God, I pray right now, Father, you're doing something new in people's lives this morning. There's people who came in today, and you needed something to kickstart you, and today, the Holy Spirit is saying, this is it. I'm here today. I'm kicking you on a new journey, a new path. And so today, I just say, yield to the Holy Spirit today. Let God do what he wants to do. Let's grow together. Let's go together. Let's let God be what he wants to be in our life. Amen? Come on, put your hands together, God. Yes, amen. I will, amen. In Jesus' name. Look, love you guys very, very much. Thank you guys so much for being here today. Be safe. Enjoy your day. God bless you.